As you're turning, we again would like to thank everyone for everything that was done this week and during the passing and funeral services for my wife's brother. And I want to ask you to remember my brother's wife in prayer as she's in the hospital in Westchester, and they put her on a vent yesterday, and things aren't looking real good for her. We just ask you to lift her up in prayer, if you would. And then remember my wife's sister. We got a call this morning that they had her in the hospital last night. And then Brother Delbert, he said he had some different family members and friends that are in the hospital last night as well. So just remember folks that are struggling with health issues right now. And then remember our church members that are traveling. Brother Steve and Sister Sherry are in Florida, and they had to go down to, they're trying to deal with her father's estate down there and trying to get the house taken care of and get some of the possessions and stuff secured and everything until they decide what they're going to do, and they're dealing with that. And then Billy and Becky left out this morning to go to Florida as well. Nick's got a thing from with the school down at Disney this week. And then I got a cousin out in West Virginia that takes care of her granddaughter, and her name is Alyssa, the little granddaughter. And she's had problems with seizures and stuff since birth, and she's just a little thing. And this week she had bad seizures, and they had to put her in the children's hospital there near where they live. And I want you all to remember her, if you would. You don't need to know her. You don't need nothing about her, but God knows where she's at, and God knows the touch that she needs. And they said it took six of them, I think it was, to hold her down, to put all these electrodes and stuff on her. She's got things coming out of her head and a pack on her back so that they can monitor what's happening. But, you know, that's a terrifying thing for a little kid, you know. And just ask you to remember that one in prayer and just pray that God would give peace and comfort to the heart of that little one, and give peace to the grandmom as well. And pray for our church family, others that are in needs. If you found Luke 19, we'd invite you, if you're able, to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 29, Luke 19, verse 29. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at a mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, into which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? Excuse me. And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And read this last verse with me. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Did you get what Jesus just said there, what you just read? If you hold your peace, the stones will cry out. Years ago, the cathedrals sang a song. How many have ever heard of the cathedrals? Well, we're getting old. They were one of the premier, probably considered one of the best of all time Southern gospel groups that ever sung. But they sang a song that said, "The rock shall not cry out in my place." And I want to preach to you on that thought this morning. The rocks shall not cry out in my place. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? As Jesus is on his way from Bethany, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and they're making the ascent up the Mount of Olives as they go to the Passover, and as they go to worship. This is going to be the Savior's last week on this earth in the form that we know him as a human being, as a child that was come from a virgin's womb. After his resurrection, he's no longer the same Jesus that we see as he begins his ascent, as he makes his last walk upon this world and in this earth, because once he's resurrected, he's in his glorified state. He's back in his glorified body. He's back to who he was and what he was before he came into this world and took on the form of a servant. He will come back when we see him risen from the grave. He's a victor. He's a conqueror. He's the one that defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's the one who satisfied the debt of sin for all of humanity and all of mankind on an old rugged cross. But now we see as he makes this journey, and as he prepares to go, he's purposed in his heart to do this. And as the disciples have questioned him, as he's taught the disciples, he knew that this was his purpose. He knew that this was his destiny. He knew that this was the reason that he has come, and the reason that he's going to Jerusalem as a lamb before the shearers, and as a lamb before the slaughter. He's offering himself as a sacrifice for sin. And as he's going, he makes preparations. As he's going, he begins to reveal more and more about himself to his disciples and to those who follow him along the way. It took some time for them to come to the realization that this isn't just any man. When he traveled with them out on the Sea of Galilee, they said, "What kind of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey?" And they began to realize that Jesus wasn't just a great teacher, that Jesus wasn't just a great speaker, but that Jesus himself indeed was the very Son of God, who could command the dead to come to life, who could command the natural elements that they would cease, who could curse a fig tree and it would wither up, who on numerous occasions touched the bodies of those who were sick and diseased and brought healing unto their lives. It took some time, but they never grasped the fact, no matter how often he would teach them, that he was also the Lamb of God that John had proclaimed. Amen. And as he's going, it begins to sink in. As he's making his entrance, they're beginning to realize that something is about to happen. And the Bible says he told his disciples to go into the city. And upon entering in, they were going to find a little donkey colt that a man had never sat upon. He said, "Loose him and bring him to me. And if any man asks you why, just tell him, the master hath need of him." And I like what the Bible says there. "And they that were sent," in verse 32, "went their way and found even as he had said unto them." Aren't you thankful this morning that you can depend on what Jesus tells you? He sent Peter fishing to pay the taxes. Amen? Now that might seem like a weird thing, you know. I had to talk to my accountant this morning. He's been trying to catch up with us. And between Joe's funeral and my sister being in my sister-in-law being in the hospital up in Westchester, we've been running and just had been missing him and missing his calls. And he knew he would catch me this morning before I got to church. And he called, and he wants to make an appointment so that we can finish taking care of getting the taxes paid. I wish it would be so simple as going down to the river and doing a little fishing to pay my taxes. Amen. Because Jesus said so, it happened. He told Peter, said, go down, and when you catch a fish, the first fish that you catch, there'll be a coin in his mouth. Go pay the taxes. It happened just like he said it was going to happen, did it not? Amen. And praise God. I'm glad that when he says something, you can depend upon it. When he says something, you can rely upon it. They found it just as Jesus said, and when they were questioned, they said just what Jesus told them to say, and praise God, it happened just like he said it was going to happen. Amen. Friend, we need to understand the whole purpose of Easter. Amen. Is that Jesus died on an old rugged cross. He came to be the Lamb of God, the perfect Paschal Lamb, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And he gave his life on that old rugged cross that he might pay the sin debt, he might satisfy the sin debt of humanity. For the wages of sin are death. That's the truth. But that sin debt was satisfied, that sin debt was paid on an old rugged cross. He came to fulfill that. And he said he was going to do that. And praise God, he did that. But he also told them that when they tore this temple down, his physical body, that in 3 days he was going to rise again. Amen. And what happened, we all know the story. On the third day, they came to the tomb, and they found the stone was rolled away. They found the grave was empty. They found that Jesus had risen from the dead again, just like he said. Amen. Amen. But that isn't the end of the story. Amen. He told Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." He told his disciples to fear not. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." And he left. And as he was leaving, the angels said, "Let us tell you something. He's coming back again." Amen. His word proclaims it. His word reminds us. His word tells us that he's coming again. And praise God, you can rest assured in what he said. Amen. And if you've not made preparations for him to come back to take you to heaven, the only thing that you're prepared for is to split hell wide open. That's the truth of God's word. But they find, just like Jesus said, I'm glad we always find, just like he said. Amen. We find that the world rejects him. We find that the world rejects his people. We find that we're hated and we're despised in the world for his sake. But praise God, John 16:33 says, "For in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." I don't worry about the world, praise God. I worry about Jesus, amen. I don't worry about Jesus. I just look to Jesus, amen, and seek him. But, you know, there's so many in this world today that feel persecuted. We're ashamed to lift our voices. We're ashamed to praise him the way that he's worthy of being praised. I had somebody the other day put some foolishness and some nonsense on Facebook. Sometimes I hate Facebook. I get so mad at Facebook. I just want to stomp my computer, and I swear I'm going to quit listening or watching or looking at Facebook because I get so mad. But somebody, he put something on there the other day, how the Christians stole a holiday to celebrate Easter from somebody else. We never stole anything. Amen. Praise God, Easter, I don't care what the name they want to attach to it, what maybe its origins were in some people's eyes and some people's views. It doesn't matter to me. Easter, to me, is still about the risen Savior, amen, and that's all that matters. And, you know, I commented that it really doesn't matter. 90% of the world probably don't believe that mess anyway, and praise God, that was some ancient teaching that he was getting in that didn't even really have nothing to do. It's just something that was twisted. Praise God, I got past it, amen. I posted something on there. I found a blog that I thought was pretty good. I posted that on there, the truth. But, you know, the bottom line is this. I want my life to be about Jesus. I want my life to be about preaching and teaching and telling people about Jesus. I'm not worried about everything else. All the social issues that we're dealing with in life are going to be there. We're going to face them. We're going to struggle with them. But praise God, our lives need to be about Jesus and telling people about Jesus and pointing people to Jesus and showing them Jesus in the lives that we live. And if you don't want to do it, praise God, that's all right. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to lift up Jesus. Amen. Look at this. God's going to be honored. The Lord's going to be honored no matter how he has to do it. And he can use the simplest of things. And he does use the simplest of things. Amen. He called me to preach. There's proof right there. Amen. That he will use simple things. But look at this right here in verses 29 to 35. As they go and they get this little donkey colt and they bring it to Jesus and they set him upon it. It just proves to us that he will be honored in the simplest of things. You know, we often think about a king being mighty and coming riding in on his mighty steed, his mighty stallion, but that's not what God had intended. That's not what Jesus had intended from the beginning, amen? It's not about the horse, it's about the man, amen? It's not about what he's riding on, it's about who's riding on it, amen? It's not about what you are or who you are, but it's about who is inside of you that really matters, and in the end, that's all that will matter, amen? He doesn't need the vain things of this world. As a matter of fact, over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul, you see your calling, brethren, and how that not many wise men after the flesh, not mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh your glory in his presence. You see this morning, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. This Easter, this Palm Sunday, I want you to begin to focus and begin to look at Jesus and begin to see Jesus for who he is, the suffering Lamb of God. But see him for who he is, the soon coming King. He doesn't need the vain things that the world thinks are important. He doesn't need your acquired possessions, your bank accounts, your cars, your stereos, your vacation homes, or anything else. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills that they stand on. Amen. He doesn't need appearances. He doesn't need to look like anything. All these pictures that you always see in these movies they make about Jesus, they're all wrong. They find some handsome, debonair man to play Jesus, and the Bible says there was nothing about him. There was nothing about his physical appearance that he should be desired. But the Bible says he's the lily of the valley. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. Amen. He's the God on high. He's uplifted and mighty before the foundations of the world and before he came into this world. He was the most and is the most beautiful and will always be the most beautiful being that has ever existed. There is nothing that ever will compare like Jesus. And when I see him, a picture in my mind, hanging on that cross, a bloody hunk of meat that was was set there to pay for my sin debt. There's not a prettier picture that could ever have been given unto me because of him and because of his suffering and because of what he's done. Praise God. I have perfect peace and perfect assurance of the debt of sin that has been paid because the sin of the world were laid upon him. My sins, your sins, the sins of the people in the world that you despise, the people in the world that you look down your nose upon sometimes. Jesus paid the sin debt for them all. There's nothing prettier than Jesus. He doesn't need your abilities. Amen. All he needs is your availability. Amen. You know why? Because he's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. You know what that means? He can do anything. He's everywhere. Amen. And he's all powerful and all knowing. Amen. He doesn't need your ability. He just needs you to surrender yourself to him. He just needs your availability for him to do what he wants to do through you and with you. And you know, why did he put you here? What is your purpose here? Why do you think you exist? To give God glory. You know where I'm going. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Amen. God didn't create us because we were something special. He created us something special because he created us in his own likeness and his own image. God didn't choose us because we were something special. He, matter of fact, he told the children of Israel, he said, I didn't choose you because you were better than anybody else or were prettier than anybody else or more financially secure than anybody else. He said, I chose you simply because I loved you. Amen. He created us for the purpose of fellowship and with him. He created us for the purpose of giving him glory. You know what? He had a war. He had a rebellion in heaven where the Satan, Lucifer, from what I understand and what I can read, Lucifer was right under God. That's the way I understand it. And then I believe the other archangels, Michael and Gabriel and all them, come under Lucifer. But Lucifer wasn't satisfied with that. And Lucifer caused a rebellion in heaven. And there was a war in heaven. And he and his demons were cast out of heaven. And I believe that when God created man, I believe this all happened before the foundations of the world. And I believe that God created man in his own likeness, in his own image, just so he had somebody to fellowship, somebody who would love him just for him. And not because of position. Not because of place, not because of possessions, but we just love him because of him. But the devil come along, and the devil ruined that. The devil come along, and the devil put envy and jealousy and lust into the eyes of man, and man fell. And man sinned in the garden. And man broke that fellowship, that special bond that he had. And God has now sent his son to die on an old rugged cross that fellowship might be reinstated, that fellowship might be rejoined. And he doesn't need anything that we can do because he's done it all. The only thing he needs us to do is what he wanted us to do from the beginning is to trust him and to seek unto him and to look unto him. We don't have anything to offer. Look at this little donkey. This little donkey colt is going to honor him. This little donkey colt is going to do what man can't do. This little donkey colt on which never a man has sat, he's unbroken, he's untried, he's untrained, he's unpretentious in anything. The only thing that this little donkey knows is that somebody has come and taken him away from his mama and has taken him, and when he gets in the presence of the Savior, praise God, they have placed their coats upon him and set Jesus there on. And guess what? There was never a bray, never a buck, never a bit of rebellion. Amen. And he began to carry Jesus up the hill, up Mount Olivet. You know, if we could learn a lesson, and you know, if God don't change my heart tonight, I'm going to preach about that donkey. Hey, man, I'm going to preach about that donkey. So if you want to hear about that donkey, you come back tonight. I'm going to tell you a whole lot of things about that donkey that you probably never knew. Hey, man, you come back tonight. But look, that donkey was honoring Jesus. That donkey did more than what he ever realized and ever knew that he was capable of doing. Why? Because in Zechariah 9:9, the Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." Just as God had predicted, just as the word had said, that donkey was going to bring honor unto Jesus. They didn't realize and they didn't know anything about him as being a Hosanna, the king, until he sat upon that donkey and it gave honor unto him. It gave glory unto him, as lowly as it was, because it fulfilled the very word of God. Amen. Psalm 19, 1 and 3. You'll read that. It tells us even nature declares the glory of the Lord. Amen. I was really thinking about singing "I Saw the Master" this morning. Amen. I love that little song. "I Saw the Master" this morning. Amen. I look out my window, I see the Master. The wind blew at my house the other day so bad, Miss Deb says, "You think we ought to go to the basement?" I mean, it blow. Now, anybody's been to my house know the wind blows hard. Anywhere else in this county, the wind can be blowing. You come to my house, and it's going to be worse, ain't it, Charles? Amen. I don't know, just something about that place, or some kind of a wind vortex comes through there and does things. And she was really serious. She said, "You think we ought to go to the basement?" I mean, it sounded like the house was going to come down. It was bad. You know what I seen? I seen the Master. Hey, man, I seen the Master. Nature declares it. An ass's colt can declare it. The simplest and basest of things can declare it. And praise God, we sit around silent. We can't even say amen when the preachers are preaching. He's got to sit down and say amen himself. Amen. Here's the message this morning. That's the introduction. I'm going to tell you why the rocks won't cry out in my place. And I'm going to praise God. Amen. Look at what it said. Look at what it said. "And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when it was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." Praise God. I want to praise him today. And I want to shout his glory today because of what I've seen. Amen. I can't tell you about what I don't know. But praise God, I can praise him for what I do know. Amen. He saved my old wretched soul. A no good, dirty, filthy, low down, stinking, rotten sinner who deserved to be in hell. But praise God, I'm saved by the grace of God this morning. I've seen him save me. If you wasn't here last Sunday night, praise God, that was the best salvation experience I've seen in a long, long time. When Brother Randy come and he wanted to get anointed, and he got under Holy Ghost God, so he'd been under conviction for some time. But praise God, it got real, and he began to cry out, "I've been faking, I've been an imposter, I've been fooling myself, and God, I need to be saved." And God gloriously saved him. Praise God, I seen that. Amen. I was there. I can't tell you about what happened on the inside of him, but I know what happened on the inside of me. I don't know what happened on the inside of you, but I can praise him because of what he's done for me. Amen. And I can praise him for what I've seen him do in my family. Amen. The souls that have been saved. My oldest sister, I asked you to pray for her for years. Gambling addiction. Alcoholic. I mean alcoholic. And she's old enough to be my mama. And in my whole life, I very seldom ever remember seeing her when she wasn't drunk, when she wasn't drinking. But praise God, she called me up one night. I had you folks a-praying. Amen. I had you folks asking God to deal with her heart and save her. She called me up one night and said, I want you to know something. She said, I asked Jesus to save me, and I believe he saved me. Yeah, I said, you know what? I said, if you really meant it and you really believed it, I believe he saved you too. Amen. I can't tell you about anything else, but I can tell you what I've seen him do in people's lives in my lifetime. I've seen him touch the sick. Amen. His healing hand upon him. I seen Brother Jack back there. When they told him he had to have that, man, I never will get over that. I won't forget that. When they told him he had to have that surgery for the carotid arteries, they were both so plugged up, and if he didn't have it, he was going to have a stroke, and this was going to happen, and that was going to happen. And they had done 3 sonograms prior to the surgery and told him that he had to have this surgery. He was almost completely plugged up, and praise God, on the day of surgery, they got up there and they done another sonogram so they could mark his neck where they was going to do this surgery. And they said, you know what? There's nothing in there. You tell me that's not the hand of God. Amen. We believe in science. We believe in medicine when it tells us all the bad things and tells us what they know they can do. But praise God, we want to discredit God when science and medicine can't prove what God has done and they don't know what to do. Amen. But praise God, I've seen it. I've seen the testimony. How about Brother Billy Moorefield? Y'all, some of you have heard his testimony. Brother Curtis and Sister Peggy were here. I know they know. Brother Calvin knows. Brother Billy, they had him up in the... DuPont, his sensory in his body just started shutting down. He lost his taste. He lost his smell. He lost his sense of feel. He was just a little boy. I think he was 6 years old then, wasn't he? 6 years old. His body just started shutting down. He went blind. He got to where he said it was getting hard to hear. He was losing his hearing. And the doctors in the hospital said, Mr. Moorefield, we don't know. Brother Delbert, you remember that? Amen. Amen. They said, we don't know. We don't know what's happening to your little boy. But his body is just shutting down. And we don't know at what extent it's going to keep shutting down or when it's going to stop shutting down. We don't know. We don't know. And Brother Russell Moorefield says, this one thing I do know. I know what he does need. He said, get me my boy. I'm taking him out of here. He took him up out of that hospital. He brought him back down here to the parsonage. And he called the men of God that he knew that could get a hold of God to come and lay their hands on that little boy and to pray for that little boy, and slowly and surely everything that was shutting down began to reverse itself. And one day Billy said, I could open my eyes and I could see. I was blind, but now I could see. I was deaf, but now I could hear. I couldn't taste, but now it all tasted good. I couldn't smell, but now I can smell. Let me tell you what the hand of God can do. I've seen it, and he's worthy of our praise. Amen. We need to quit letting everybody else and everything else just get all excited and praise and honor what they feel like praising and honor. We need to get right and start praising God for the glory that's his. Jesus said, if this bunch don't, then the rocks will cry out. Amen. I want to praise him because of what I've seen. I've seen the saint of God laying on his death. We was talking the other night. My sister-in-law is nigh on the death. If God doesn't intervene, God doesn't change his mind. And this isn't her appointed time. Talking about my daddy. I wasn't there. I was 8.5 years old when my daddy died. My brother David was there with him the night he died. And they said, when crossing time came, they said he just sat up in the bed, looked up, and reached his arms. Whoo! Do you hear me? He reached his arms. Amen. He knew he was ready to go through Death Valley. And praise God, I believe he's seen the one that was there to take him through this valley. And praise God, I've been by the bedside of saints myself that died and fell into the arms of God's grace in their dying hour and found peace in that final moment and in that final breath upon this earth. I don't know what you think. I don't know what you've seen. I don't know what you've done. But praise God, I've seen him do marvelous things. It's worthy of praise. Amen. He's worthy to be praised this morning. Church house ought to be the noisiest place in the city. Amen. And God's people get together and they begin to thinking about all the things that he is and all the things that he's done. They ought to begin to praising him. Amen. And the whole community ought to know that there's something. I got them people excited down there. And we need to go down there and find out whether, you know, it's like the old adage, a young preacher. I said, I don't know what's the matter. He's talking to an elderly preacher, his mentor. He said, I don't know what's happened. He said, I try to preach hard. I try to preach good. I try to get them out. He said, I lead them up to the water, but I can't get them to drink. And the old preacher says, that's your problem. It's not your job to lead them to the water. It's your job to make them thirsty. Amen. If the world could only grasp what we say that we have in our hearts, it would make them want to have what we have. And praise God, the reason they don't want to have what we have is the church has become too quiet. Amen. We don't give God the glory for our successes. We don't give God the glory in our failures that he allowed us the ability to come through another trial. Praise God. He's worthy to be praised simply because of who he is. The psalmist said in Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Praise God. Today, I want you to know something. Simply because of who he is. The psalmist said, I want you to know something today. The Lord is my everything. He's everything I need. He's my protector. He's my strength. He's my hope. He's my help. Everything I need is in him. And praise God, he's worthy to be praised. Amen. You know, we lost sight of that. Well, I need a bigger house. No, you just need Jesus. I need a better job. No, you just need Jesus. Amen. I need a different church. No, you just need Jesus. Amen. Everybody, you know, I was talking about this in Sunday school. We don't need any more Baptist churches in Cecil County. Amen. We need to fill the Baptist churches that are in Cecil County up before we have any more Baptist churches in Cecil County. Amen. Amen. We got too many churches that are being started and built and figured out for the wrong reasons. Yes. Amen. But praise God, I tell you what we need. Is we need some Baptists that aren't afraid to praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. And the people look down here at this Baptist church and say, man, I don't know what they got, but I want it. Amen. I don't know what's down there, but praise God. I don't know what's going on there, but praise God. I don't know what's happening there, but praise God, because I want what they have. Amen. You know what I have? I have Jesus. Amen. You know what I have when I don't have anything? I have Jesus. Amen. You know what I have when it seems there's no hope? I have Jesus. Amen. You know what I have when the enemy comes against me? I have Jesus. Amen. You know what I have when everybody else wants to stand against me and I'm standing for what thus saith the word of God? I still have Jesus. Amen. And praise God, as long as I got Jesus, that's all I need. Amen. Let me tell you what. I'll praise him. I'll praise him for what he's instructed me to do. Amen. He's given me a job. He's given me a privilege. He's given me an opportunity. Amen. He said over there in Mark 16, he said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Praise God. I praise him today because he's given me the privilege to carry the bloodstained banner into a lost and a dying world and to let folks know about Jesus. I have the privilege, Brother Joe, of telling my brothers and sisters, telling my friends and family about Jesus. I have the privilege of telling people that I don't know that I stand and preach to, or I stand and sing to, I stand and minister to, or that I live before about Jesus. I don't have an obligation. I don't have a duty. I don't have a burden. Praise God, it's a privilege to tell people about Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we need to start praising him because of the privilege that's been granted unto us to tell people about Jesus. Amen. He's worthy to be praised because of who he is. He's worthy to be praised because of what we've seen. He's worthy to be praised because of the privilege he's given us to tell people about Jesus. But I'll praise him and I'll glorify him because that's what I need to do. The Apostle Paul told the Philippian church in chapter number 1, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus for me by my coming again to you." You know what Paul said? He said, "I have a desire to go home to be with Jesus." He said, "But it's needful for you that I remain here. It's needful for me to be in this world." If you are a born again, I'm not talking about I said some prayer. I'm not talking about I say I'm born again. If you're a born again Bible believing, I mean born again by the blood of Jesus. I mean born again, life changing. Behold, all things become new and all things become new. I'm talking about born again, not thinking you're born again, not saying you're born again. I'm talking about born again. You get where I'm going. It's needful for you to be in this world. Jesus said, "We set our candle on high so that the world can see light." Jesus said, "You're salt. You're salt. The world needs salt. Salt's a preservative." You know why we're here? You know what our goal in life should be as the child of God? Just to let more and more and more people know about Jesus. Every one of us, the Bible says, are able ministers. Amen. You know what that means? Every one of us can tell somebody about Jesus. Every one of us can show Jesus in our lives. Every one of us, our lives, should exemplify Jesus in everything we do. Every one of us should have a desire as a child of God to make sure everything that we do tells people about Jesus. It's a privilege today to be able to speak the name of Jesus.